Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we're joined once again by one of the men that I've come to regard as an extraordinarily, well, perspicacious observer of and, well, player in as well. What's developing in Latin America, specifically in Venezuela? He is the president and editor-in-chief of the Latin American Herald Tribune, which is a very important publication in Venezuela, among other parts of Latin America. He has been involved in a variety of other activities, both in the journalistic tradition and otherwise, that contribute to his mastery of what is taking place at the moment of great importance, I think, to all of us as we watch the meltdown of Venezuela. He is Russ Dallin, and has been a guest with us frequently and most recently last week, I think, as we were trying to take stock of what's happening amidst a meltdown of the Venezuelan economy. Welcome back, Russ.
Thank you, Frank. It's always good to be with you, and it sounds like my mother wrote that introduction.
Well, I wish I'd written it better, but thank you for that. Listen, let me just ask you quickly, because I know there are many different elements to this story, but particularly the economic unraveling of this country is, I suppose, the most important story of the moment. That, I gather, is continuing to take place. Is there any end in sight, Russ?
No. Sadly, Frank, it looks like there we are still yet to find out in the world how low a country can sink. But Venezuela certainly hasn't hit bottom yet, I'm afraid.
And this is again against the backdrop of a country with enormous natural resources, particularly oil wealth. I have been told by you and others that this is an extraordinary natural wealth that has been squandered by the present regime and its predecessor, Hugo Chavez. The public, I gather, has begun to hold them responsible for that, and yet we're hearing about pressure being brought to bear by Nicolas Maduro and his allies to arouse these so-called communes to try to shore up his base of public and political support. Talk a little bit about that, if you would, and whether it's likely to work.
Well, it's first of all, you're right. Your premise is right that we're talking about the country with the largest oil reserves in the world, more oil than Saudi Arabia, with 300 billion barrels estimated proven reserves. So we're talking about a country with phenomenal resource wealth, not oil alone. I mean, gold, iron ore, bauxite, even the special strategic metals like cobalt and those kind of things. Venezuela has been blessed with an incredibly ample supply of all of those resources. So for a country like that to be on the brink of bankruptcy is just a testament to the, once again, as if we needed one in the last 50 years, to the failures of communism. Having said that, one of the things that communism has learned over the last 50 years is that it has come to rely on what they call communist cells in the old days, which are now called Bolivarian communes, as a way of getting around other more formal structures such as national assemblies or congresses to undermine their authority and give them to card-carrying members, which is literally what Nicolas Maduro did this week. He decided that there would now be, for all his supporters, a Bolivarian card, so they could all be card-carrying members, and that it would also connect with their phones so that they could get immediate text, so that, one, they could tell them where there are milk supplies or eggs or, in a starvation society arriving, but also, more importantly, that they should come out and protest here or protest there, and they would get, a bottle of beer and a new T-shirt or whatever. So, you're right, Frank. They're using this these communes to try and get around a society which is increasingly and predominantly and majority aligned against the complete mess that this government has made.
Yeah. Again, our guest is Russ Dallin, the president and editor in chief of the Latin American Herald Tribune. You have, I know, a sense of what's happening on the ground, and let me just say, when these kinds of circumstances arise, it's not uncommon for people to vote with their feet, Russ. And I'm just wondering, other guests have described the possibility as this continues to go south, especially if there's, you know, violence accompanying, you know, the settling of scores or the removal from power of this this odious regime and its replacement, you know, by heavens knows who, narco traffickers, you know, the military, something perhaps worse in the way of a strongman. Do you anticipate, Russ, that you'll see either Venezuelans or perhaps Cubans who are moving through Venezuela in large numbers migrating northward? And if so, might that be a problem for us as well here in the United States?
It is, and certainly America is a destination of choice for many Venezuelans and Cubans. The difficulty is that it is far more difficult for Venezuelans to get to America than it is for Cubans on a raft. Sadly, Venezuela is geographically much more distant, and there is no direct border crossings. Having said that, it can be done, and it is done, but the immigration from Venezuela over the last decade and a half of Chavismo is something like 1.5 million of the population have left the country, not just for the United States, but also for neighboring countries like Colombia and or Spain in Europe, and even Italy, where they can get a passport from grandparents who might have been Italian. So, yes, in a sense, and it's actually America has benefited from this, and that we've got some of the best and brightest of Venezuela. But you're right now when we're talking about the people leaving, they are not necessarily the best and brightest. Those leaving now have little financial opportunity.
Right. We're joined once again by Russ Dallin. He is the president and editor-in-chief of the Latin American Herald Tribune, which is a very important publication in Venezuela, among other parts of Latin America. So, Russ, what would you be recommending the government of the United States do at this point? Is there anything to be done? And is the obvious play of kind of propping up the existing government of Nicolas Maduro, which I think probably left to its own devices, the Obama administration would opt for, actually a desirable course of action?
I think that that the American response right now is not to respond, to not catch a falling knife. Whether that's through inertia or policy is we can debate about. The current focus is on Cuba, with President Obama going there obviously later this month, and Cuba is very much in the driver's seat in Venezuela. So that is indeed part of the negotiations, as I understand it, between the Obama administration and Cuba and Raul to try and decide how they can resolve the problems that Venezuela has become.
But one would assume, given the close ties between Raúl Castro and, for that matter, Fidel, and the regime in Venezuela that until very recently was propping up the Cubans, we've stepped into that role, of course, that you would see the outcome of a Castro-Obama, you know, conclave on this be, let's see what we can do to stabilize the situation by keeping the government in place there. We'll be following this closely, as I know will you, Russ Dallin, at the Latin American Herald Tribune and in your other capacities. Come back to us again very soon, please. I believe this is really of enormous strategic interest to the United States, as well as importance from a humanitarian point of view. Thank you for your time today, and keep up the good work, my friend. Next up, we'll be speaking with Gordon Chang about the latest developments in Asia, including what's going on with China. Straight ahead.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.